All right, so we just started talking about Facebook randomly, but it's a good lead in here. So Chris, 2 weeks ago, had been preaching on 1 Timothy, why we should keep our mind focused on what really matters and avoid the distraction of what doesn't really matter. And I'm not preaching against social media. I really like it, and it's a tool, right? But there are times where it becomes all-consuming, and you can think about and process these thoughts, and pretty soon, you know, if you read 10 different thoughts that were now injected into your mind, and you're processing through them, and the Lord's like, hey, I'm over here, I'm trying to say something to you. It's really easy to have a hard time hearing Him because you've got all these other voices, you know, the traffic, if you will. It's been said, it's estimated, of course, that the average American will receive 3,000 messages in a day. Wow, this funny sound here, but 3,000 messages in a day coming in from all different aspects of life. And so what we're going to talk about today is maintaining a lifestyle of worship. And the challenge of that is there's a lot of stuff flying at us. And what will we filter out? What will we just simply say no to? What are we able to maintain without losing focus, right? All right. So 1 Timothy, focus on what really matters. Avoid what doesn't. Don't be distracted by the things that are pulling us away from the voice of the Holy Spirit. God, we just ask right now that you'll come and speak to us, God, and don't let anything come through the filter or the lens of condemnation or guilt, regret. Lord, let us hear the voice of the Father who loves his kids, who wants to encourage, who wants to refine, who wants to mature and grow. And Lord, we surrender our hearts right now. We surrender them to you, Holy Father, and we recognize that you're the one who transforms a life, not us. It's not by our effort, it's by you. And so, God, we surrender ourselves to that plan. And we know that your plan is good. And so, here we come. So, please speak in Jesus' name. Amen. We read a couple weeks ago a verse out of Hebrews 12, and I want to revisit that really quickly. It's Hebrews 12, 26 to 29. And I hope you can hear this not from the lens of judgment, but from a different filter. If you don't mind, you can hit the F5. There we go. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. Can you imagine? When God spoke and the earth just shook. But now he makes another promise. Oh, good. Another one's coming. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things remain. That's a promise. And since we are receiving, when you hear that, a lot of things scary. Holy cow, shaking and fire and well. My planet is melting all around me, right? And that's not the position that we're hearing. I hope you can look past the judgment side of things. I hope that you can acknowledge that the fire that drives the Father is jealousy for our heart, for our passion, for our attention, right? Are you with me? Okay. God is burning with a fire of a passionate jealousy for our hearts. What will our hearts be consumed by? And, you know, there are times where we build these lives around busyness, and we build it around worries and fears and trying to mitigate things that could happen in the future, and we're just consumed with, you know, I got to make sure my kids have everything I didn't have when I was a kid, and I got to make sure that, right? And I have to just fill in the blank. And pretty soon, you know, I got my first job, my second job, and then the thing I do for investing, and then, you know. And the Lord is like, I'm going to shake it. And I'm going to shake it like a passionate, jealous lover, right? Not like I'm shaking. Done with you just passing through the scripture like it's just another checklist item. I'm tired that you listen to worship like entertainment. I'm tired that you, right, think your church is all about you, and I'm tired about your small group and your judgments and your, right? I'm tired of all that stuff being just busyness. I want your heart. I want your attention. I want your passion. Right? There was a scripture in Malachi where he's like, I don't want to shut the temple door so you can't offer your lame sacrifices to me ever again. You know what I mean? Like he will shake and interrupt things. And it's a good thing. Like we're like, I don't like him to shake. Well, he's like, I'm a father. I'm not here for your comfort. Amen. I'm here to develop. So there are times where he's like, hey, that's not good for you. Let me just take that. You know, you're running with scissors. Let me just take that. Right? Just take that. Oh, you want to stick that in the light socket? No. Right? And we're like, but I want to. It makes me happy. I like my independence. I like making decisions. I don't like being told. I don't like my world being crowned on. You know what? He's a good father. He's a good father. Yes? My flesh doesn't love the shaking, but man, I've come to really love the shaking. He's been shaking in my life, and I believe in River's life, for the last year and a half, at least. And it's been uncomfortable, but I watch the fruit that's coming out of it, and I'm really glad. I'm really excited. How about you? Okay, so then what is the proper response in that? And it's right here in front of you. I'm going to just cheat and say, read verse 28. Since we're receiving this kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful. Say thankful. Please God by worshiping Him. Yeah, and how? Holy fear and awe. Remember last week we talked about find your awe, find your reverence, find it. Like sometimes we come to be so casual with our Lord, right, that we forget who He is. Yeah, fear. I actually have the definition for that. I'm glad you asked. It's actually it's the state of awe. It's a wholehearted, wide open gaze at the one who is remarkable. You can be. I mean, you see him for all that he is. There's a part of you that's like, whoa. Right? But then there's the other part of you that's like, my dad could beat up your dad.
Yeah, right on.
You know what I mean? That's just who he is. He could go savage. Right? I don't want to be on that side of savage, but wow, when he goes crazy, man, he puts down everything that's into it. And that's okay. That's like, right? And that's the kind of reverence and fear and all is he can... He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. There's no limit to his power, his authority, his sovereignty. My dad can stop anything. He can fix anything. He can create anything. He can repair anything. He can restore anything. He can renovate, rejuvenate, transform anything he wants to at any moment, including me and my sacred cows.
Yeah.
Right? My God is a consuming fire, and there's a part of you that's like, yeah, there's a part of you like, holy cow, what's good? And that's good! It's not my favorite. I don't love that singer. I don't love that. It's like, who cares? It's not about us, right? About finding our all. And when we find our all, then we press into His heart. And when we understand His heart towards something, we get to join that and become partners with Him, right? And so our worship, and I want to be clear, our worship is so much more than just songs. It's a lifestyle of the heart. That can be anything from whatsoever you do it, do with all of your might as unto the Lord. I mean, even your work can become worship. But I want to make sure that we understand that our worship is unquestionably intentional. It's not repetitive, and it's not traditional, and it doesn't come out of just a lukewarm token response. I've always done it this way. This is what I always do, right? You don't check your brain at the door at worship. You fully engage in your worship intentionally, and it's counter to your flesh. So there are parts of you that don't even agree with what you're worshiping and how you're worshiping and what you're saying in your worship, and that's perfectly fine. Because your flesh doesn't get to tell you what's real and what's not real. Or true and not true. Right? And so What we find is, you know, there's these different movements. You've got culture, and then you've got counterculture, right? And then you've got this cool thing called cancel culture. And then you've got worship, which is counter to all of it. Worship just says, I don't care what all you people think, your opinions are, they all stink. And what really matters is my Father said, right? And the power of the cross then gets to be placed in between you and anything else you're dealing with, right? Yeah, but my flesh is saying, I don't know, I don't believe. Well, you know what? Sometimes we just receive from the Father without feeling, and that's okay. Right? Not everything's touchy-feely. And unfortunately, sometimes in church, you can actually feel the excitement in the room, and sometimes the emotions are like, awesome. Just don't get so addicted to that when you don't have that supercharge that you can't also give and receive to the Lord and have a relationship outside, right? You get both. The Lord loves us and wants to give us both. All right. So worship, as we find, protects right thinking. And that is one of the reasons we were called to live in lifestyle worship. It's for our good. It's also because our lives were made to worship. I mean, we were made through Him, in Him, by Him, for Him. We exist for His glory. That's part of our reason to live. Benefit we receive by doing that is when we are living in our original intended design, we protect right thinking. The world's got 3,000 messages firing at you. Which one do you believe? Maybe none of them. Maybe you just believe what the Father tells you about Himself and who you are in Him. Right? All right, so you want to see a practical example of this in motion? I do. Okay, good. Your answer is yes. You're in church. Psalms 73 is a chapter written by Asaph. Asaph was one of the singer-songwriters in David's kingdom. Now, just so you understand, in his day, so you kind of understand the model here, stones being built up into the family of God at the temple where His presence dwells, right? He dwells among us. And so there's some language in here about the temple. Just make sure that as you're reading that, you understand that the Old Testament today is a little different. The presence of God resides in us, right? The other thing that you're going to see is, or maybe not know, that David was the first king to institute what was called 24/7 prayer and worship at the temple. Like, he personally funded that from his own money, right? He paid singers, songwriters, musicians, and priests to just rotate on shift 24/7 worship and prayer, okay? Now, why are you telling me that, Daryl? Because we are that temple, and if we're going to look back at that model and say, how can I apply? Whatever it took cost to make sure people were praying throughout the 24/7 cycle, right? Okay. Are you saying I can't sleep? No, you get my point. Like, my point is that our relationship with Christ drives us to continually connect with Him. It's not just an event that we schedule once or twice a week, right? And it's not just an hour of our morning or just a, you know what I mean? It's like we do this throughout the day. We worship, we connect, we pray, we let Him speak, we respond, right? Okay, so we're going to start here in Psalm 73, verses 1 through 5. The Psalm of Asaph, he was known as like the greatest singer in his day, too, so he's kind of a hero here. But truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. He's talking about his attitude and his emotions. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. I'm not going to preach on this. I just need you to see the guy's attitude, okay? Can we do the next slide? Continuing on, he says, look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. If I'd really spoken this way to others, watch this, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I just trapped my attitude in, and I didn't say anything. Now, I'm not here to talk about wicked people prospering. My point was, that was his hang-up. He was living for the Lord and seeing, like, you know, other people are being more blessed than I am. Why am I doing this again? You know what I mean? Have you ever said that? Have you, like, I tried to be generous, and then I went broke. I tried to take them into my house, and then they, like, wreaked havoc in my home. You know what I'm getting at? It's like, I thought that if I would invest into God's kingdom, that it would return back to me, pressed down, shaken over, running together. And instead, it was like, that was my heart. It was broken in pieces, and I'm just disappointed. I'm angry. I'm not feeling it. Right? Okay. And then he felt trapped. He's like, if I would have spoken this, I would have been seen as a traitor. Right? And you know what I'm talking about, right? Have you ever been in church and you're like, you put on your smiley face because you know that if you admit how you're feeling, people are going to be like, are you okay? You sure you're a Christian? Yeah. We shouldn't feel that pressure, but it's definitely there. And depending on the church you're at, man, it's worse than others. Right? Looking around, make sure I'm not like singling anybody out, but I mean, it's a reality. Okay. So then, let's just keep going. Psalm 73:17. So then I went into your sanctuary. That's where the presence of God was, right? That's where he encountered people worshiping and praying. They're just like, the environment was there. And I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path. You send them sliding over the cliff to destruction, right? He's like, okay, so I can see it. There is an end to all this pain on the earth. Okay, I think I'm starting to take a fresh breath. And then he keeps going. In an instant, they're destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. For us, you know, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, so we're not talking about human beings here. We're talking about an enemy, the forces of Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy, and we're hassled by them. And, you know, we're like, God, when are you going to just put a stop to all this pain in my life, or on the earth, or around my friend, right? He's like, it's coming. It's coming. I have a plan, right? And in an instant, they're swept away. When you arise, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at a dream in the morning. So now he's connecting with the joy of God in worship. You know what I'm saying? Like, attempts of the enemy to hurt and kill and steal and destroy. And it's like, have you ever been around someone who's laughing and you can't stop like help but laughing? Right? The Holy Spirit. Is it okay that when you're ticked off, you can actually begin to worship and count and connect with the God who's the God of peace or the God of joy or the God of mercy, and you can actually have peace or joy or mercy in a moment where everything in you doesn't personally feel that way, but then it rises up from the inside and becomes joy, becomes peace, it becomes mercy that you extend, right? I'm walking you through practical world application of one of the worship leaders. You know what I mean? All right, next slide, please. This is just some proof about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. Next slide, please. If you want those verses, I'll read them later. Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. So here he is, he's worshiping, right? And sometimes when we worship, we want the warm fuzzies. And that's cool, that happens. And then, you know, sometimes we want that all-consuming sense of his peace. And that happens. But there was another dimension here that while he was in that moment, he realized his heart was bitter. And what does the Bible say about bitterness? What's that? It defiles. Yeah. Root of evil. It talks about how the root of bitterness even dries up the bones and makes us sick. Right? It's not of God. And it's killing the person who owns the bitterness, right? And in God's presence, the Lord challenged him while giving him the joy and the peace and the breath of fresh air. He also gave him, here, I'm going to put a little challenge in your heart. You're bitter. Wait a minute, no. God, you and I, we're mad at the wicked. No, no, no. I'm actually done with you being bitter, girl. No, 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 no. You want to straight away. He's like, I'm all torn up inside. My heart is not able to find which way is up any longer. I can't sense anything. And I was so foolish and ignorant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Here's the cool part. Yet, I still belong to you. So even though my condemnation and my guilt is pretty high right now, I can remind myself that no matter what I'm feeling, that I still belong to you, and you hold me by the hand no matter what, right? And now you can start worshiping on that point. Like, as in your worship time, you're like, thank you that you hold me. I thank you that no matter what I do or think or feel, you remain the same, right? You're consistent. This is cool, right? It's life-changing when you stare at the beauty of God and it reflects back to you and realize who you are and your security that you have in Him. And that changes things. That truly gets to the heart of who we are. That's how we let go of things like bitterness, not because we took a five-step program. And you guide me with your counsel because you're the counselor, right? You lead me into a glorious destiny. Because all your promises are yes and amen, right? Because I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not evil, to bring you a future and a hope. I have a glorious destiny. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, right? Right? I mean, we have all these promises that we're just like, oh my gosh, He's amazing. He loves me. He's awesome, right? And now we're not trapped in the bitter side. We're trapped in the hope side. Right? This is good stuff. And now He keeps going, whom have I in heaven but you? What's my plan B? I don't have one. I desire you more than anything on earth. That sounds like real worship now, like a pure sense of worship just coming out at this point, right? So He went from bitter, I'm ticked off, why are you going to slam your foot on the guys that are wicked, why are you going to put an end to the pain, to I got no one else and you're my everything. Like you saw the iceberg melt in just three slides, right? In the environment of worship. This is like so crucial that we remind ourselves. You probably know this already, but we gotta remind ourselves like that stuff melts the junk. It fixes things. It fixes us, which then fixes our marriage, which then fixes our parenting, which then fixes our issues, right? It's a process. May I please? That's not COVID, I promise. Can you imagine me wearing a mask and be like dripping out? So then He's going on now. Okay, so remember, He was pretty hopeless about the future. He had locked on with this law of entropy, which says things will continuously get worse and worse until they break or destroyed or die, right? That's entropy. It's a fact. It's a reality. But you don't have to lock on to that. That doesn't drive your decisions, right? It shouldn't, right? You're trying to say, Daryl, okay, my house one day is going to become a won't build it and live in it for now. If you lock onto entropy, it's like, why bother? It's just going to be destroyed anyways. Right? And we do that in our life with so many things. Why do I even try? It's just going to fall apart anyways. Yes? If we're in our flesh. I'm not saying this is good. I'm just saying that's a natural human thing when we lock onto the hopelessness. And so what we find right here, in Psalm 73:26, please, on the next slide, He says, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart and He is mine forever. So He went from this, everything I hate watching wicked people prosper and good people falling away and not succeeding or being blessed to. You know what? My health may fail, and I may grow weak, but you know what? God is my strength, and He will be my strength in my heart forever. He is now, like, gone past the point of the entropy phase and the bitterness phase and the this is all hopeless phase to I have strength even when everything is still not going to be perfect. And that is really critical, too, because guess what? Sometimes we have a heart change on the inside, and the thing on the outside doesn't always change. Right? Because the Lord is not, what are those things called, like where you put a quarter and you pull the thank you. Healthy children! Right? We don't get that. And so we have to be okay with, you know what? I might pull the slot and nothing happens, but He'll be the strength of my life forever. And He'll lead me and guide me through the tough situation, through the health problem. You know, my health may fail, but He'll be there. And He'll be my strength through that. And I got something no one else apart from Him understands. I have hope and I have healing and I have a reason to live because He's there. Right? Yeah, it reminds me of a song, because it's I Can Face Tomorrow, right? All right, so those who desert Him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. So now a dude who feels trapped, I can't say that in front of my friends because I would be a traitor to your people, is now free to say, I've connected with God, and now I can tell everyone. You know what I mean? Like, freedom. 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 And it's very possible that nothing changed on the outside for Asaph. I got a theory, but I can't prove it. I'm betting some of these wicked people had the ability to reap some negative effects in Asaph's life. I don't think he was just observing. I think he was under their pressure. Maybe it was a boss. Maybe it was a wife. No, I'm just kidding. bad joke. But you get what I'm saying. I think he was subjected to these people, not just observing on, you know, the Discovery Channel. Right? And because he was being burdened by it, that's what changed his attitude, right? So what happens is nothing changed on the outside per se, but he realized in the place of worship he had a vision correction. And when he was able to see God for who He really is, that made all the difference. And nothing else necessarily changed. And what's great about that is his testimony did change. What came out, the output of his mouth, the output of his heart changed when he was able to say, I can tell everyone how awesome you are, God, even though nothing else changed on the outside. Make sense? Are you with me? Did you fall asleep? All right. Well, He gives His beloved sweet sleep. just didn't know it was going to be a sermon. Philippians 4. You guys know Philippians 4 so well. I'm going to change it up and we're going to read it out of the Message so you can say, I've never seen it that way before. You guys familiar with rejoice in the Lord always? All right, good. That's this verse. It says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it clear as you can to all that you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. That is huge right now during an election year. Right? Okay. Help them see that the Master's about to ride. That's Jesus. He can show up at any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Do you see that? Like, let your worship drive your prayer life. Do you see it? That's why we really can't separate prayer and worship. It's kind of like this big fluid thing that works in one big cohesive ball. because you know you're by remembering who He is, by reminding yourself of His goodness, that shapes the way you pray. So you're not coming at Him like some slave saying, "Oh, Master, I have a bit of Polish, right? Come on, please, right? Please, you're not trapped in that slave mentality of if I just beg Him and say the right words, then He'll have pity. No, He loves you, and when you say it back to Him, and you realize how awesome He is, then it directs the way you pray, and you wouldn't think of shaping your prayer like some pitiful little slave child, right? You realize you're a king's kid, and you realize how big He is. Yes? All right, I realize you guys are getting tired. What's that? Awesome. That's what I like about you. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, that's Romans 8, 28, by the way, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Right? It's wonderful when the worry is displaced. You know, it's so critical that we point out the fact that He didn't say, it's wonderful when God fixes all your problems. Right? One is worry and one is the actual problem. Continuing to rejoice always is critical in this conditional statement up here, right? Because it's critical because there will always be stuff coming at us that's beyond our control. That's a guarantee. And if you fix all the stuff right now, more is coming. Right? And so it's critical that we learn how to remain in a place of worship and let it drive our attitude and our prayers. We also understand that this is a command, and God's command is not only for our safety, but for our good. Like, don't play in traffic. Right? It's not being a fun sucker. I mean, really think about this. He's not this needy, emotionally driven person who's like, I need your worship. I need it. I have a deficit. I need you to tell me. Right? That's us, not Him. Yeah, that's us. He doesn't need our worship. Like, I'm telling you, rejoice in me always because it makes me feel bad when you're not rejoicing. Rejoicing is my love language. Right? That's not Him. He's doing it for us to set us free. It's the thing that transcends and breaks through worldly thinking and patterns, yeah? And then we see that in the heart of worship, we can work alongside even the most difficult people. Now, that's not a guarantee that they're going to let you work alongside of them, by the way. So if you do your best to stand by their side and let them know that you are for them and they still won't take you up on the offer, that's not your fault. Yes? But you can make the offer, and most of us, prior to having that godly-centered point of view, we can't get to the point where we can make the offer. Because we're like, I don't really enjoy working with difficult people. See ya. Yes? Keeping our eyes on Jesus helps us get through our own issues that contribute to the problem, right? It brings us to the sense that all things are going to work together for our good. And so even if there's friction, even if there's rejection, even if there's the desire to tell that person that you are right, because of course you are, even if you have a self-defensive, self-righteous sense of pride and arrogance, right? It doesn't matter. Once you really see God rightly and you put yourself in the right place with Him in the center of worship, then all that other stuff just kind of goes away. Right? It doesn't seem so important anymore, does it? Yeah. And then, of course, what we see in the place of worship, in that we lock onto the peace that passes understanding, right? And that's right here. You guys probably more familiar with it. The peace that passes understanding that guards your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. That's this, but in a different language. Okay? Yes. Yes. With thanksgiving.
As we thank and praise God, it encourages us. it's just, it hurts us to say we're so quick. You know what I'm saying? But the part of that, what you always saw at times, is the way that it's.
Well, thank you.
Just, like,
That's what we're talking about. Awesome. I'm going to read another one, 1 Thessalonians. This is the rejoice always that people get confused with the Philippians for rejoice always. But we're going to look at them both real quick. Verse 16 to 21. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Cross that out, put only the good ones. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not stop the prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Most people like to cut all those out and put them in different logical buckets and thoughts and stuff. And it almost sounds like Paul was just sort of like running down a checklist of, don't stop praying, and something about prophecy, and something about thankfulness, and something about prayer, right? But it's really, it's one block of thought, okay? Even if you feel like you're, it's not one block of thought. It really is. It's about, it's like the heart of worship is to come in alignment with God's thoughts. Okay? And so when you're joyful and you never stop praying and you're thankful in all circumstances, you realize that the Holy Spirit wants to invade that situation. And you're not going to stifle Him from invading that situation any way He wants to. Right? And then when the Holy Spirit comes and He invades a situation, oftentimes He will bring a prophetic declaration into that moment to speak change. This is right. Not a lot of us are taught this depending on your background. But if you can say, my God is bigger than you, you just made a prophetic declaration, okay? So it's not weird. It's very practical, okay? It has to agree with Scripture, and it has to be driven by the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's the spirit of prophecy, right? So the Holy Spirit's like, don't stifle me. I'm coming in, and I'm going to make a statement about your problem that I'm going to just change, transform, use for my glory, set you free. I'm going to take your testimony, and I'm going to use it to bless other people. And then, in the end, I'm going to defeat the enemy with the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So, right? Don't stifle that, right? Don't stifle that. And then test everything that is said and hold on to what is good. So, you know, you might have this moment where you're like, I feel like God's saying to me that all my problems are going to go away and I'm going to get rich tomorrow. And then you realize that wasn't good. But that doesn't mean you didn't hear God. What you just did is got all excited and threw extra garbage in there. What He was really saying is, I have a plan for you and you're not stuck and I will take care of you. And I will be with you, and you're going to be fine, right? You know what I'm getting at? It's like, hey, sometimes we get excited. It's okay. Hold to what's good. Spit out the bones. Chuck it. Amen. We don't have to, like, get all freaky and say, I'll never do that again, because some of that was a little bit more flesh. Junk it. Judge it. Call it what it is. That was flesh. Oh, I'm embarrassed. Okay, we'll do that again. Right? Easy. Yes.
And then in verse 23, to go along with what we're saying, because that's really sanctifying, right?
Yeah.
Getting more.
Oh, okay. So, Pastor, what on verse 23, like what you're talking about, how we get mixed in there and it's not all pure, but so that process of sanctification. In verse 23 and 24, it says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you, that He's at work sanctifying us completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, like we were singing about, He will surely do it.
Amen.
So I love that He's doing that. So love what you're saying.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you. And for those of you who are like, what's sanctification? And a quick explanation, it's cutting something and reserving it just for you. When God has chosen us, like, I'm reserving you for me. And all that fleshy stuff and all your little desires and all your brokenness, and I'm going to just do it for you, do it for me. Right? Okay. Let's land this plane and then start praying. But Psalms 104, verse 33, if you don't mind, I think you have to stay up like that. It says, I'll sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God with my last breath. May all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. This is, you know, as I rejoice, my thoughts just line up and become pleasing to him. And I'm just going to not stop singing. I'm not going to stop worshiping. I'll even do it as I'm dying. It doesn't matter, right? Because even in death, I'll be with him. It's like, you know, it's an amazing security that he brings. And so some of the topics that I love to pray about today, and remember, we can all pray. I will ask that we pass the mic so that the folks online can hear. But and folks online, I'm so sorry, but I don't have a method with my new sound change for you to pray and for us to hear you. So I just have to ask that you agree. And we're so sorry for all of you in internet land. But last slide, please. See all the stuff you got to skip? You worship just for that alone. build a heart for lifestyle worship within me that expresses reverence and awe in defiance of my fleshy moods, feelings, and pressures. That's some of us today, you know? You're in ASAP's funk, and you need to get out. Number two, let worship displace worry at the center of my life and drive my prayer life. Let worship drive my prayers. Not fear drive my prayer. It's a difference. Cause worship to bring me into alignment with your heart, God, toward everything. This is that sanctification that's happening. And then the last one, let worship be natural in my house, in my household. And that's some of us are just, we have a, you know, I have that sense too. Like, I got to figure it out how to reinfuse my house in a deeper way in worship. And, you know, I bring my kids into it. And they do get into it with me when they're with me, but there's something else. I'm feeling called to a deeper level of that. And I don't know what you feel, but if you're feeling it, it's probably a yes. I think the Lord is doing that within us. Like, how do we really unpack the Lord in our house and let him just fully make himself at home among family, you know? So that was just a challenge for me to pray. If it's not for you, sorry. It's all about me. Let's pray. Again, if you want to pray, I will pass the mic just so everyone can hear. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for this time in your presence. Thank you for the reminder for connecting with you. I thank you, God, that next time you remind us the same topic, it will be to take us deeper in your love. And the next time it will be to take us deeper in your love. And the next time it'll be to take us deeper in your love. God, you keep taking us from glory to glory, and you're bringing us into more freedom and greater intimacy. And so, God, as we receive the challenge to enter into a lifestyle of worship in a deeper way, God, I pray that you'll meet us there. And Lord, you'll just release your presence, you'll release your joy, you'll release the fruit of the Spirit, the character of God into our life, into our families, God, like never before. I pray for new realms of freedom, God, as we worship you, as we let go of destructive patterns of thinking. Lord, as we lock onto the reality of the cross and the power that it holds, the Spirit of God living within us. Lord, I pray that we will offer up to you that sacrifice of praise that is pleasing, that is, it's what you deserve, because, Lord, you are working whether we see it or not. God, thank you that you would love us enough to even sanctify us, to reserve us for you. Lord, reserved in this life typically means something, it's special, and sometimes we don't connect with the fact that you hold us as special, and that's why you reserve us. And so, God, that we could fully embrace the special to our God and really live in that freedom, and to let that freedom drive our behavior and drive our attitude and drive the way we approach challenges and our trust. God, I pray that you will allow us to see miracles, whether they're small or great, as we worship you, as we respond with a yes toward this call to a deeper lifestyle intimacy, you, Lord, let us see miracles. Let those be the signs that say we're going in the right direction. And let freedom and your heart just really, really begin to affect and bless other people around us, I pray. Lord, we don't want to just do this for our own selfish reasons, but Lord, let it come out and let it just really begin to minister and help people who are stuck in bondage, Father. We thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Does anyone else have a prayer? You do. Okay.
Dear Lord, I pray that you will help the people who need you, and I hope that you will help the day go by and help us, your church, and help those who are sick. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for creating the world. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this time, and Lord, for all your love for us. God, would you take what we'll share here today and internalize it to our hearts? We get one with us as we walk with you and talk with you. Just be with us, Lord. We love you unconditionally. Help us to grow and be with you throughout our full day today. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the Holy Christ. Amen.
Help us to live it Monday through Saturday. Let worship drive our work and our family and everything else. We love you. We just want more of you. How else can we say it? More of you in our life and less of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. You are dismissed, and don't forget about the pool party.